I'm Kate Botello, and as special treats, no tricks today, just treats, we have Gulshireen DeVosh and Ethan Horgan from the Interlochen Arts Academy Theater Department. They're putting on a production of Matilda the Musical, just a fabulous show, and they're here to share some of the music and stories with us. Good morning, both of you.
Good morning.
Morning.
Thank you so much for coming in. Gulshireen, this is a really huge, really popular musical.
Mm-hmm.
Already people are flocking to come and see it.
Yes.
What is it about Matilda that has such, why does it have such a huge draw?
Well, I think the story in itself, in terms of Roald Dahl's actual story, I think is pretty popular in America. Most of the students in my company have read quite a bit of Dahl, and so I'm presuming that a lot of younger children, parents have helped, educate their kids through Dahl. In terms of the musical, it went to Broadway. It was originally created and devised by the Royal Shakespeare Company in England, which then went to the West End and then went on to Broadway. I think it's really accessible, though it is quite dark, so I'm not entirely
very dark. Yes, it is.
But I think Broadway lightened it up a little bit and made it pretty accessible to younger kids. It's so relatable to small children, for small children, and so I think that's the main reason. It's a lot of fun. It's got a lot of pathos. It's quite nuanced in the characters, so...
I think Roald Dahl had a great talent for the lurid of terrible adults doing terrible things. And I think for kids, you know, it takes them to that really deep place in the imagination where they can just fly as hard as they can. And Ethan, for you, you have to go to a very, very deep place in your imagination. Ethan Horgan is playing Miss Trunchbull in this production, which is a terrific role. Tell us about Trunchbull.
Well, I've always seen Trunchbull as this huge evil monster, but when getting into the character in the recent months, I can't think of it as this big evil demon. I've always thought that the scariest thing to see in life is not someone that's trying to be scary, but someone that is demanding attention. And Trunchbull is far past her prime and refuses to give any power to anybody. And that's why I've always thought she's so scary, because if it's not around her world, it's not happening.
Nice. Now let's talk about, for one second, her moment in the sun. What is her secret power? What is she famous for?
Well, she's a famous hammer thrower in the Olympics of 1969. So she had her big moment and the crowd loved her, and she came back to her home and nothing was different. And in a way, just coming at it from an actor's standpoint, it is pretty heartbreaking, because you win the Olympics, you win the gold medal, and you expect to come back the superhero, and everyone hates you just as much as they hated you before.
Okay, finding some truth. Truth is very important here, and we'll talk about that in just a minute, and more about Trunchbull. But let's start with one of the pieces from the show.
Sure.
With our children starting in their happy places, their naive happy places, let's talk about Miracle.
Mm-hmm. So Miracle is the start of the show, and you're absolutely right. It is the happiest place. It's the place where children are being told by their parents how wonderful they are. And that school is going to be this amazing place where they're going to learn the alphabet and all sorts of different things. And so they are pretty excited. They also have a lot of belief in themselves. They have belief in each other. And a lot of that is trampled on once they start to get to school, especially with the big kids. So that comes later. But yes, Miracle is this light place where they believe in they have a lot of hope.
So let's start from the hopeful place. This is Miracle from Matilda the Musical.
Mom says I'm an angel sent down from the sky. My daddy says I'm his special little soul. popularity and brilliance these days. It seems that there are millions of these. What are the millions these days? Specialness is de rigueur. Above average is average. Go figure. Is it some modern miracle of calculus that such frequent miracles don't render each one unmiraculous?
In the biannual International Amateur Salsa and Ballroom Dancing Championships in Paris.
You're getting on a plane, Mrs. Wormwood?
Of course I am. I always compete, Doctor. And this time, I have a secret weapon. Rudolfo. He's part Italian, you know. Very supple. Has incredible upper body strength.
I think we should have a talk.
So, what is it? What's wrong with me?
Mrs. Wormwood, do you really have no idea?
Gas?
Mrs. Wormwood, I want you to think very carefully. What do you think might be the cause of this?
Am I? Look, am I fat?
Mrs. Wormwood, you're pregnant!
What?
You're going to have a baby!
But I've got a baby, I don't want another one! Isn't there something you can do?
You're 9 months pregnant.
Antibiotics or... Oh my good lord. What about the biannual International Amateur Salsa and Ballroom Dancing Championships?
Oh, Matilda Parents, man. That was a miracle from Matilda the musical. Most of the children in that musical enjoying great love from their parents, thinking that they are adorable and brilliant, as we all think about our children. I'm here with Gulshireen Dubash and Ethan Horgan. Ethan is playing Trunchbull in this upcoming production of Matilda. Gulsh is the director, but also, I love what you said. You said the director, but not exactly. What do you mean by that?
Yeah, I come from a tradition of theater where I was trained in my master's to devise work. Devising means you work from the ground up with your cast to create something original. Even if you have a script, you can devise a script. Often people think that devising is mainly creating only original work and original scripts, but it's not that. You can actually have a script and devise it with your cast. And because my training is an ensemble-based physical theater, I don't come in with any blocking or have an idea of what my show is actually going to look like. I have a general vision for the show, but the students and I create this together. And so we really think about it as my guiding them through a devised process where the ultimate product becomes theirs.
And then they have a tremendous ownership over that work. If you managed to catch last year's Kids Commute Live, Godzilla Eats Las Vegas, Gulsh was the spearhead for that. And that was definitely this just wonderful collaboration of the theater department where everybody really looked like they were bringing their heart and soul into it. And part of it's because you gave them ownership of the work. That is really cool. Now, Ethan, this is interesting because you took some ownership here, again, as we discussed earlier, in your characterization of Trunchbull and how, why she is the way she is. You know, evil people don't usually think they're evil. They think they're doing the right thing. Everyone else is wrong. And you were talking about her moment of glory with the hammer.
Yes, with the hammer, the number, I think I've always thought of this song as a reoccurring theme in Trunchbull's head. So I believe that she goes through this song quite a bit, at least once a week with the school children, because she's forcing them to surround her and relive alongside her her biggest victory, and forcing them to praise her and make them fans in a way. Because they're singing along and like also letting the audience know this is how you win. And this is how winners can be made.
Let's just go right in with the hammer from the show. This is by Tim Minchin, by the way. He's the composer of Matilda, the musical. Here's the hammer.
I believe that Matilda Wormwood is an exception to the rules.
An exception to the rules. In my school... Look at these trophies, see how my trophies gleam in the sunlight, see how they shine. What do you think it took to become English hammer-throwing champion 1969? Do you think in that moment, when my big moment came, that I treated the rules with casual disdain? Well, like hell! As I stepped up to the circle, did I change my plan? What? As I chalked up my palms, did I wave my hands? I did not. As I started my spin, did I look at the view? Did I drift off and dream for a minute or two? Do you think I faltered or amended my rotation? Do you think I altered my intended elevation? As the hammer took off, did I change my grunt from the grunt I had practiced for many a month? Not a jot, not a dot, did I stray from the plot? Not a detail of my throw was adjusted or forgotten. Not even when the hammer left my hands and sailed high up above the stands. Did I let myself go? No, 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 no. No. If you want to throw the hammer for your country, you have to stay inside the circle all the time. If you want to make the team, you don't need happiness or self-esteem. You just need to keep your feet inside the line. Sing, children. 2, 3, 4.
If you want to throw the hammer for your country,
you have to stay inside the circle all the time. And if you want to teach success, you don't use sympathy or tenderness. You have to force the little squids to toe the line. Sing, Jenny!
If you want to throw.
Life's a ball, so learn to throw it. Find the bally line and tow it. And always keep your feet inside the line. Now get out.
Tales of her own heroism. The Hammer from Matilda the Musical. Tim Minchin, the composer. That is based on a book by Roald Dahl. Matilda the Musical being put on here at Interlochen Center for the Arts. Gulch starting November the 15th.
Yes.
And you had to add some performances because this is such a popular musical.
Yes, we have added Wednesday, November 20th.
Okay, so again, you can go to tickets.interlochen.org if you want to see that. Ethan, as we were listening to The Hammer here, we were talking about truth. That was very interesting, the truth of telling your own personal Trunchbull truth. And you had a little kind of secret about her.
What I've realized is throughout the first act, Trunchbull sees her descent into madness in a way that there are things that are out of her control and she has to stop them. And she realizes her out of this world emotions and feelings, and she uses her, I hate to say, like, madness, but she uses her madness to scare the children. So in a way, she, because she's aware of her crazy tendency, she turns into a supervillain, sort of, in the second act,
mm-hmm.
where she's aware of the power she has, and she uses it when she needs to.
Which is an interesting parallel with Matilda, then. As we fall, I guess we can mention, mm-hmm. it's not really spoilery, Matilda, somehow things can be moved around
mm-hmm. yep.
telepathically, and we're not exactly sure why. It's Correct. Left a little vague. So that'll be really interesting to find out more about. Now, Ethan, also, this was the first time you've heard that recording. Let's talk about why.
Well, when I'm working on a role, specifically in a musical and in plays, actually, I really try not to look at any videos and not to listen to the recordings. Because mm-hmm. if you listen to the recordings and you look at videos, you will look and sound exactly like that. Because I wanted to find, I knew I had seen the Broadway production when I was about 11, and I remember the energy in the room, and I remember how distinct the role was, but I wanted to let that memory fade away so that I could look at the script and look at the music and go just from sheet music and script and build from there. Because I wanted to find my own Trunchbull, not the same one that everyone's copying the Broadway cast.
An excellent choice. So a devised Trunchbull, and again, a devised mm-hmm. production. Gosh, yeah. There are certain things that are bells and whistles we might associate if you've seen clips from Matilda mm-hmm. on television and so forth. That is not what we're doing here. It's a truth thing for you.
Yeah. Similar to Ethan, actually, I've barely seen any of the clips, and I've listened to the recording perhaps twice. Because for me, I did want to find the truth in our version. I also wanted to make sure that we were pretty truthful to the book. And there are elements in the script that I would have loved to have had more weight and body to. And so we have in our production, we've elevated a few of the characters to come in and have a larger role. So we have Miss Phelps, who's the librarian, is pretty instrumental in Dahl's book in terms of her being the person who introduces Matilda to reading, to books, and really influences her. And she's not quite large enough in the script as it's written right now. And so we've created a larger role for Dilara Naskar, who plays Miss Phelps. And so everything that I wanted to do with this production goes back to talking about what do children overall, universally, you don't have to be English, you don't have to be American, to experience what it is to be in a scary school atmosphere, to be a child in general, universally.
And actually, our next piece of music is a really nice example of what's so scary for the children mm-hmm. at the school. Tell us about the Chokey.
We don't quite know what the Chokeys really look like, but our Chokeys are tables, and they get flipped upside down on their side, and we make this world of Chokeys where students are put into the tables. And we know that the Chokey has a big lever, and then we have a klaxon sound that accompanies the Chokey as it, we think about it as sort of nearly going, it's a big cage.
The Chokey is where Miss Trunchbull puts you if you're bad in class.
Yes.
Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so this is called the Chokey Chant. It's a little short one, but this gives you a little idea again of why school is so scary in Matilda the Musical.
Matilda, they're saying she's going to put me in Chokey!
What's Chokey?
They say it's a cupboard in her office that she throws children into. They say she's lined it with nails and spikes and bits of broken glass!
There's a place you are sent if you haven't been good, and it's made of spikes and wood.
And even if you could,
there are nails on the bottom,
so you wish you'd stood
when they're
and it's great the way, because that's the way kids would add to the unknown. Mm-hmm. For all we know, the Chokey is a boring broom closet you have to hang out in
right,
for 5 minutes,
exactly.
Right? So that is the Chokey chant. And again, to give you an idea of that over-the-top, wonderful, lurid, I've said again, but the mm-hmm. absurdist darkness of Roald Dahl that we are very much embracing for this musical. I think kids mm-hmm. embrace it very much because they know it's a joke. They can take the joke.
Yeah, they can.
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about this next piece of music, When I Grow Up. This
yeah.
kind of, this is a little bit of a different space. This isn't just one of our more kooky numbers in the show.
Yeah, it's interesting where this number gets put in the show. It comes at a very, I think, a odd time. And so we've had to make sure that we link the scene that goes before it quite smartly to When I Grow Up. Typically, When I Grow Up has a lot of swings in it, and it's extremely sentimental. We have not made it sentimental. I really wanted it to be something quite sad. And sort of heart-wrenching versus sentimental, because there is a slight difference in that. And we've actually added Miss Phelps again into When I Grow Up. She sings with Miss Honey.
Oh.
And I think about this triangle of good, I've been calling it to myself, is the escapologist, who's Miss Honey's father. Miss Honey and Miss Phelps are the triangle of good in Matilda's life. And we've put all three of them. Actually, we have the entire cast on stage for When I Grow Up, which is quite lovely because we see the parents and Miss Trunchbull as a juxtaposition to the children singing about the hopes of what they would be when they grow up. But then we see these pretty awful adults mm-hmm. in the background
right.
giving us the reality and the truth of what it is to grow up and what you can become.
When I grow up, I will be tall enough to reach the branches that I need to reach to climb the trees you get to climb when you're grown up. And when I grow up, I will be smart enough to answer all the questions that you need to know the answers to. grow up. I will be brave enough to fight the creatures that you have to fight beneath the bed each night to be a grown up. When I grow up.
Just because you find that life's not fair, it doesn't mean that you just have to grin and bear it. If you always take it on the chin and wear it, nothing will change.
When I grow up.
Just because I find myself in this story, it doesn't mean that everything is written for me. If I think the ending is fixed already, I might as well be saying I think that it's okay. And that's not right.
Okay, that is... ouch. Ouch. I felt a little tug in the feels while I was listening to that music. That was When I Grow Up from Matilda the Musical, based on the book by Roald Dahl, the composer Tim Minchin. I'm Kate Botello here in Studio B today with the Interlochen Theater Arts Company. We have Ethan Horgan here. He's playing Miss Trunchbull, and Gulshereen DeBosch, the director, coordinator, muse for the cast, as we talked about them all working together. And that show opens November the 15th. Many of those sold out, but they did add another performance, and you can always go to tickets.interlochen.org to see if you can find some room to put yourself into this production. We're about to hear one last big piece from the show and one of my personal favorites from the show. But before we do that, I wanted to ask you about something we were talking about during the music today in terms of, again, a devised work. Because, Gulsh, you say you come in, you don't know what it's going to be.
Yeah.
But as a result, that means sometimes it takes a while to find it.
Yes.
Let's talk about that for a second, because this is really interesting to me.
Well, with Miracle, which we listened to first, we've probably had about five tries at that number. We got it the first day, and we did something, and then the next time we came back to it, we all looked at it, we looked around, and we were like, we don't think that worked. So we spent... probably, honestly, we spent a good 5-6 hours trying and trying and trying again, and we would come into rehearsal the next day and everything would be new, and then we'd look over at Gulsh in the corner and just shake her head and be like, try again. But finally, after hours and hours of trying, you get to the place you want to be, and it's so much more rewarding once you've put in all your effort and found the place that tells the story properly. Not telling what you think the story should be.
Until you have that feeling, that moment of arrival. You know it when you see it.
Yeah.
Very cool. And we're so excited to see these moments of arrival when they come out on stage. This is, I would say, one of the big hits from the show.
Yes.
That we're about to hear. Revolting Children, which of course has a double meaning.
Yeah.
Because they are told they are revolting children, but then they revolt. So yes. let's talk a little bit about the setup for this. This is such a terrific kind of Les Miserables moment for the children.
Yeah, Ethan, do you want to talk about it? Just because it involves you primarily.
Yeah. Very much so, yes.
Well, this is in my head the climax of Trunchbull's arc so far, because she really pulls out all stops at this last moment. She walks on stage and she has this big speech about how there are winners and there are losers, and that you are all losers and I am a winner. And she has this punishment towards the children, and she makes them spell these words that she's making up out of nowhere. And eventually the children realize they have a Spartacus-esque moment where one of the children stands up and decides to spell cat, C-A-F. And all of the children immediately begin to randomly yell until of course Trunchbull bites back and has the moment of madness that you don't see coming. She has this imitation of the children, and then you hear a siren go off, and slowly you feel all of the chokies come down, and she's made one chokie for each child. And she has this big moment, and the speech from the beginning of the scene comes again, and she goes, in this world, children, there are winners and there are losers. I am a winner. And right before she finishes the line, Matilda uses her powers and makes Miss Trunchbull's biggest biggest flaw and probably her biggest regret in her past come back and haunt her, forcing her to leave, and then the children can be on their own and revolt in the way they want to rather than being revolting.
All right. Revolution. I want to thank you so much. Gulshreen DeBosch, thank you so much for coming.
So welcome. It was such a pleasure.
Ethan Horgan, thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having us.
Break a leg, all of you. Break a leg, Trunchbull. Again, the Interlochen Theater Arts Company is putting on Matilda the Musical, and you can go to tickets.interlochen.org for more information. We'll say goodbye as the children revolt. This is Revolting Children. Thanks again, guys.
Thank you.
Happy Halloween.
Never again will she get the best of me. Never again will she take away my freedom. And we won't forget the day we fought
for the right to be a little bit.